I always ask, can you hear me well? Okay. I'm not Charles Dickens, and I know that you see that the title of today's talk is Great Expectations. I loved the book, and I borrowed the title for today. The reason that I did is because, one, we at this time of year expect the birth of the Christ child, and we're entering that season where we celebrate that. So there's an expectant nature in our churches, in our world. We see Christmas already upon us, the decorations, the buying, the Black Thursdays come and gone. There is an expectancy of the day that is to come. What I want to talk about this morning is the expectancy inside each one of us that is born anew when we recognize it. We tend to get what we expect. And somebody has said, that's the heaven of it, and that's the hell of it. We think into this great thing called life, and it reproduces almost invariably what we think. If we don't experience it ourselves, we see it in others. I want to remind you this morning about expectancy. This past year, I've done a series of meditations and things that have to do with letting go of what we've accrued in the past months that may have been not for our highest good. Those daily slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. The work of forgiving the past, forgiving a person, forgiving something that has been blocking us. We all have it. And I'll go back to that from time to time. But when I assumed the role of minister of this church, I felt that one of the things that was incumbent upon me was to make sure that we let go of the things in the past that may not have served us or may just be free radicals hanging around in our mind, and that we came to a common unified purpose. And I feel that's happened. And somebody said to me this week when I was planning this talk, they said, well, now you're ready for the good stuff. Well, I think forgiveness and self-work and all that is the good stuff. And it's all very necessary. But there's another part of truth. And that is to live in the joy now of what we've released, what we've forgiven in ourselves and others, what we want to see manifest in our life. Expectancy is a way of affirmation, although we may not know it. Our lives are really prayers. We think when we assume the position that God's listening a little more than when we're walking around thinking. I really believe that our every thought and our motives represent prayers. I don't think that there's a time that the God within doesn't hear you and then another time does hear you. It's all God, it's all you, and it's one and the same. That's a difficult thing to grasp sometimes because we feel so mortal and so human. I know I have. I know that when I entered ministry, I wondered, what was I going to say that hasn't been said before? And I realized that the only responsibility I had was to live the truth that I had found out and to never say or expect anything that I hadn't lived myself. So when I talk about expectations today, I can speak somewhat autobiographically because everything that I have ever really invested expectations in has occurred either for what I thought at the time was my good, or for my lesson, or for a challenge. I decided to count it all good. The reason that I did that was because it happened anyway. The only thing that was upsetting to me was the ego portion of me that would have liked it to be a different way. So why not call it good? Bible says, I count all things good. This doesn't originate with me. I'm just repeating it. But I hope that you understand that with expectations, with the idea that we know what we want to have happen, we affirm it, it will come true in one way or another. The expectations that you hold are fulfilled without you even knowing it. I'll give you an example. How many times have you heard someone say, well, I thought that was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. And it's usually negative. Well, that's the way it was. But how many times have you heard someone say, I knew that was what was going to happen. That was what I thought was going to happen, and it did. Same words, different inference. Different in what you place on the words. Trying to unmuddle the metaphysical here. I would say that living in expectancy, joyously asking, affirming, and believing what you want to have happen gives you a greater sense of it becoming than if you sit back and say, I hope, and if it's God's will, and maybe. This whole year has been spent in one way or another with all of us, meeting challenges, forgiving, forgetting, loving, all these things that we do as humans. Underneath it was always an expectancy, if you look inside your heart, some expectation of something. I remember when I first started, and it wasn't ministry, it was in the sales business. I expected that when the door opened and that when I knocked on it and they invited me in, I expected that the deal would be closed. It just was an expectation. It was a self-fulfilling prophecy for me. I didn't count it that I was some great salesman. I just thought, if I get in, that's half the battle or more. I take that lesson into church by saying, if you come here, you're already expecting something. You're already in the mind that you're going to get something. Do you really know what it is? You can have very different expectations and yet come together in a united way like this. And great energy is produced and that ripples outward. When I talk about keeping our minds clear, when I talk in the meditations about forgiving, releasing, letting go, all the things that I've done in the past in meditation, it was for this moment, right now. And it came to me this week when I decided to practice this message. I memorize it before I give it. And I was led to go sort of off script and talk about expectation and expectancy. Nobody's here without it. Now I want to ask you, what do you expect for your life? What do you want to have happen in your life? What is your highest vision of yourself? Your job, your family, or maybe it's all of it. Then I'm going to issue you somewhat of a challenge. You have to be the change you want to see. That wasn't something that was originated by me. That was Gandhi that said that. You must be the change you wish to see. You must embody what you want. You can't affirm for 5 minutes a day that I am peace, love, joy, happiness, expectancy, and then go out and do everything that contradicts that. It has to line up with an intention inside you that is so strong. Claude Bristol called it the magic of believing. Norman Vincent Peale said, change your thoughts and you change your life. He said, throw your heart over the bar and your mind will follow. Everything that I have learned, read, taught, ministered about, had to do with the idea of throwing your whole self in expectation of what you want to receive. I've never seen somebody sit back and say, well, it just came, the good just came without me doing very much. Yes, there's serendipity, but there are seeds to be planted, mental seeds for your good, and you don't want to dig them up when they don't come at the right time that you think they should. You water them through affirmation. You nurture those small sprouts. You live in faith. I once said this week, belief holds on. I think I've told all of you before, belief holds on and faith lets go. There comes a time to hold on and there comes a time to let go. Right now, I hope all of us let go with the highest and best idea of ourselves. Don't cancel your good by believing that you're anything less than a child of the living God, filled with his light, love, truth, with a capital T. And if you don't, if I haven't convinced you yet, I need you to go back through history and tell me about the people who said otherwise, who said, you can't do it, we can't make it, and tell me where the success was. A dream was always nurtured by a visionary. And a good visionary wants to make other visionaries. Sheldon Kopp wrote a book called If You See the Buddha on the Road, Kill Him. What did that mean? I wanted to know. That meant that basically you're your own authority. You really don't need somebody to tell you what to do. I think a good minister reminds you. And it's been said that a really good teacher or minister kills himself or herself by making themselves unnecessary because everyone gets it. Now, I don't particularly want to do that because I like the job. And I hope all of you like what I do. But I have to remind you, in good conscience, you are your own authority. So therefore, if you come to me and ask me a question, I want to remind you of the knowledge and the wisdom that's inherent in you already that you may not see. A practitioner of religious science, a unity teacher, a Christian Science practitioner, what do? They hold the thought of you as you really are. For you. I realized that when Jack Bolin, the minister of Unity, Church of Today and now Renaissance Unity in Warren, Michigan, said to me out of the clear blue sky when I was just talking to him about one of his tapes that I loved, he interrupted the flow of conversation and said, Jay Mulkey, you are going to do the work that I do. Do you believe it? And I said, of course not. The work that I do? And he said, would you let me believe it for you? I said, if you want. That was way back, 30 some odd years ago. But he expected something from me. And he kept telling me, as our friendship evolved, I expect you're going to do this. Why do you expect that? I said. He said, because I know it's inherent in you. He saw something in me that I wasn't capturing at that time in my own thought, but I was open to it. I see something in every one of you and everyone even outside of this church. It's unrealized good. It is the good that's wrapped up in a package called life has hurt. I'm not powerful. I've been broken. All the I'ms that limit us. I would prefer, and I think it's much greater thing for you to say, I am strong. I expect good. I go forth to meet it. The Christ in me salutes the Christ in you. There's a time to stand forward and live what we've learned. If we're not doing that, we're vainly repeating statements of truth, but with no feeling and no belief behind them. Belief works. faith works. Expectancy is the match to the powder of those things. Now, life isn't always going to be a bowl of cherries. The Bible says, in the world you'll have tribulations, but cheer up, I've overcome the world. Tribulations are good for us because they build spiritual muscle. Can you imagine a life without challenge? Can you imagine a life where there's nothing to solve? There's nothing to do except just sit? No. Problems are inherent and built in by the creator of this universe so that we can become more and more like that ideal image, like the Christ, the one who was so evolved, the one who was so transcendent, when he was able to walk among people and they could be healed by a mere touch of his robe or just a request. I think we're all called upon to be that, not to worship it. That's fine if you need to do that. But I think that Christ himself would say, do what I do. Be what I embody. I and the Father are one. You and the Father are one. I am and the Father are one. I want to take the mysterious as much as I can out of religious superstition and bring it home in a way that's usable, definable, I'm going to say replicable, replication, that you can count on certain things happening. First, your highest vision, the thing that you cherish the most, that you want to see happen in your life. Concentrate on that, embody it. Believe that you already have it. Act as if. Dr. Carl Menninger said, act as if you have it and it will be given to you. He was only repeating what Emerson said. And Emerson was repeating what Troward said. And Troward was repeating what the ancient scribes said in India and in the Middle East. This is nothing new. But the application of it can be made new every day. What works for you when you decide to affirm your highest vision, that which is the thing that you want to have happen more than anything? Will it always turn out the way you want it? Not necessarily, but it's going to work for your highest good. I've always said I'm thankful for the prayers that weren't answered, because if it had been, then I wouldn't have gotten this other thing, and so forth. I can see a divine destiny that weaves through my life, and I've heard enough of your stories to see the same thing. I know that all of us in our own way have been challenged. We've all had things to forgive. We've all had things that we regret, things that are part of the human condition. I want to lift us above that. The new year is coming. The Christ child is going to be born. We celebrate that. And I say, it doesn't matter if Christ is born 1,000 times of a virgin if he's not born in me. I've got to embody what I believe. Otherwise, I'm giving lip service and I'm not being honest and truthful with you all. I love it. Isn't God great? Sometimes you're reminded. So my hope and my prayer for you is for you to literally remember who you are. Yes, you are part of the body of Christ, and so is everybody that's ever walked this planet. Christian church does not have an exclusive right to sell on Jesus Christ. Christ embodied some of Buddha, some of the Oriental thinkers. We don't know after he was born from the age of 12 till 30 where he was. I like to think he was learning about how to teach people to expect the best from God. And when he came back and he taught as one with authority. And he said, according to your faith, be it unto you, you are gods. All this kind of talk that turned religion on its head back then, and it still does when you say it to some people today. You're very powerful. And I want you to expect your very best, and I want to support you in your expectations. I want to hear about it. I want to know about it. I want to know what moves you. I want to know what makes you inside move around. I want to know what puts a smile on your face. Max Ehrman wrote something called Desiderata years ago. And what he said was, go placidly amid the noise and haste. He also said, avoid loud and vexatious people. He said a lot of things that are challenges for us. But while you plant your seeds of expectation and while you nourish them with affirmation and while you've forgiven everything that you need to forgive, there is a daily way of living. And I've said this morning in book study, and I want to bring it in now. Quiet confidence is whispers. Insecurity and fear yells. I hope that every one of you live in quiet, confident, joyful expectation of your good. I hope you realize that serendipity happens. Miracles happen. Things happen that come across our path that we don't know where they came from, but thank God they did. Count it all for your growth. One of the fundamentalist ministers made a very famous, and I'm not going to mention the name, you may know it when I say it, but his tagline was, expect a miracle, make miracles happen. What have we said in New Thought? It's true across the board. It's just some people have to associate a little bit of fundamentalism and maybe punishment, and those kind of ideas, with the idea that God is good. I don't know how they quite do that, but they do. We say God is total good. We embody that good. We expect it to be manifest in our lives. We're ready for it, and we go forth to meet it. If you do that every day, if you think that way every day, if you affirm that way every day, you're ready to take off. This year, I'm affirming for you individually and for us collectively, is going to be a time in this church like we've never seen. I'm no prophet. When you see me walk down that trail before church, there's a reason for it. It reminds me that it grounds me, and it reminds me of what I'm supposed to do. It's a moment that I take of stillness. I look at the horses, the deer, and I ask if there's anything else to say, tell it to me now. It was 2 weeks ago that I caught a vision of something. It was the idea of this oasis of love expanding. I want to know what it looks like. I have affirmed in prayer to know, what does this look like? But I know it's coming. I know 2019 is going to be unprecedented for Unity of Bernie. And I am so honored to walk into that with you. And I want each and every one of you to expect the best for yourself and expect the best for your church. That's the challenge, but that's also the glory. And should serendipity happen, we happily accept that. But we all look in one direction. Joy, love, and growth. I hope that I have done somewhat decent a job today of building expectation in you, not just for the historical birth of the Christ child, but the historical birth of God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the kingdom of heaven within. Make your decisions with the assuredness and the backing that you know is in you with God, the kingdom of heaven within, you are it. That's the wonder of it. I ask all of you to do one thing with me right now and repeat these words that I say. I am a child of God.
I expect my good.
I go forth to meet my good.
I know my good is at
hand. And so it is.
And so it is.
God bless us all. And so it is.